the relationship between China and Australia has dropped out of the headlines just a little bit in recent months. Obviously, so much else going on in our country and the world that perhaps it's not grabbing the attention the way that certainly it did in recent times. The deterioration of our relationship with such a big trading partner was, of course, seemed to be daily nightmares unfolding, diplomatically at least. Someone to, I guess, really bring us up to speed, just to have a little bit of a recap of where he thinks the relationship between our two countries is at, where he thinks it's going, but also, importantly, the impact on the business community. Very lucky to have Dr. Carl Hinds on the line from Brisbane. Now, Carl is a partner at law firm Holding Redlich. He is the head of the firm's China practice. He is fluent in Mandarin. He has clients both in China and Australia working across the two countries. So it's a great pleasure to have him on the line. I feel like I should call you Dr. Carl, first of all. But,
there's only one Dr. Carl. Thank you, Kevin.
There is only one Dr. Carl. However, Carl, give us an appraisal, in your view. Where is the relationship at the moment? Do you think, has it sort of gone off the boil a little bit in terms of those headlines that we were seeing so frequently in recent times?
It's a good question, Gavin. Obviously, after the relationship reached its lowest ebb in the diplomatic history between the two countries, both sides will be seeking some sort of a reset. And it probably suits both sides at the moment to have a pause in the tensions, if you like. But I suspect that there will be a lot of interest in the business, diplomatic and political community to make sure that the relationship is repaired as soon as possible in the right way. So probably other things are taking, as you mentioned before, taking the focus, but certainly it remains the number one issue in my mind between Australia and China. The relationship has a huge impact on Australians right across the nation.
Australia was on the front foot when it came to calling for an investigation into the source of COVID. Was that moment, I think it was Defence Minister Maurice Payne perhaps, who made that sort of call. We were one of the first nations in the world to make that call. I guess if we took a step back to remind ourselves how this all started going downhill, was that a key pivotal moment where things started to go a bit pear-shaped?
It was, but frankly the tensions between the two nations started sometime earlier than that, and certainly China has over the last couple of years made it very clear what the sources of their tensions with Australia and with the Australian government are. So it wasn't just that moment, but that was a pivotal moment. It certainly saw further descent in the relationship than what existed previously.
We hear a lot from Chinese media, Chinese government-backed media, about how terrible Australia is and how terrible what we've been. But you deal on a different level in between China and Australia, obviously business people, business owners. And I'm really interested to know, what is the perception? What's the feedback, I guess, more on the ground level from Chinese nationals about their feelings and relationship with Australia?
Well, a lot of Chinese nationals on the ground here in Australia are very frustrated by the current situation. Many Chinese nationals have been born in Australia and have been raised in Australia, and they feel like they've been sidelined throughout all of this and that their relationship with other members of the community has been harmed, which is a disappointing side effect of the current situation. And there are also many Chinese business people in Australia who now feel like they're not the party to be doing business with. So they've lost a lot of business as a consequence of the relationship.
What about, talking about business then, what about the impact? Tell us about what have been some of those impacts, some of those hits to businesses over, well, as you said, the last couple of years really.
Well, certainly out of China, the level of foreign investment that's coming out of China into Australia has reduced. I'm sure that the data with the Foreign Investment Review Board and the Australian Bureau of Statistics will show that over years. And there is research done by Australian universities that proves that. And I see that anecdotally. So the amount of investment and the quality of investment coming out of China right across the board in the range of sectors, whether it's education, tourism and hospitality, healthcare, mining, resources, the impact has been significant. So there is a great reduction in the amount of investment coming out of China into Australia. And frankly speaking, there's been a big impact on the amount of business from Australia into China. So whether it's wine or whether it's barley or any of the other areas of business that have been affected by the Chinese government's reaction to the deterioration in the relationship. That Australian businesses have been greatly affected in the way that they're doing business in and with China as well.
You were in Cairns earlier this week. What was the mood on the ground for people that you spoke and met with here in our city?
Well, certainly the mood on the ground in Cairns is that people are very excited about what might happen in 2022 with the announcement earlier this week on from the Queensland government on policies associated with opening up through during the COVID opening up phase and what that means for small businesses and businesses in the tourism and hospitality sector. I think there is still a lot of nervousness about what that means for small business, but certainly in relation to China, Chinese tourism has played a huge role in the last 10 years for small and medium-sized businesses in the tourism and hospitality space and in the education space. So a lot of Australian businesses are hoping that there is somewhat of a return to normal, but there is no doubt that the geopolitical relationship will continue to impact upon those areas of business even after COVID comes under control.
I'm speaking here with Dr. Carl Hinz. He's a partner at Holding Redlich and the head of the firm's China practice. Carl, let's cast our eyes forward now. What needs to happen to continue to repair the relationship? Where can you see it all heading, particularly over the next 12 months or so?
Right. Well, I'm not a diplomat, nor am I a politician, but as a lawyer and a business person, certainly within the legal and business community, there is a hope that the politicians and the diplomats will be able to find a way through this. No doubt both sides, as I mentioned earlier, will be looking to have a reset in the relationship of sorts, and that will require some sort of olive branch to be handed out. Now, the question becomes, at what point is the olive branch handed out and what does it look like, and whether one side takes it or rejects it, or how is that dealt with? So there's a lot that needs to be dealt with in terms of the repair of the relationship and defining how that reset looks, because that reset will have a massive impact on business right across Australia.
Does China need Australia? I mean, in that sense, you would think we would have to be the ones extending the olive branch.
China does need Australia to a degree. I mean, we obviously have key resources that China still needs. Iron ore, China has been trying to replace Australian iron ore for many years, but hasn't yet found a way to be able to do that. So in terms of iron ore and the impact on China's steel industry, which of course has been and will be affected by domestic issues within China in their own economy, but they still need our resources. They'll need our food and agriculture. They've, I think, shown that they don't need it exclusively. They'll get that from other nations as well. But we have a lot of synergies with the Chinese economy that we can continue to develop with the right political relationship.
Well, it's fascinating stuff. And yeah, who knows where it will all head and unfold over coming months and years, in fact. And as you said, particularly as we start to see some of these international borders reopen over coming months, it's going to be very, very interesting to see tourism, international students, as well as a whole range of other trade. Fascinating stuff to see where it unfolds. Dr. Carl Hinz from Holding Redlich, great pleasure to have you on the show. Thank you.
Thank you, Gavin. Pleasure to be with you.